what I'm going to be saying, which I think is intended to focus, we've looked at the challenges, and this is perhaps more on the benefits of marriage, or family, I should say. And I'm glad of that, because as a priest, or probably for all of us, really, when you're looking at anything like the family, you become more particularly aware of the problems. It's a bit like when the bishops gather to discuss things that are going on in our church locally. We spend most of our time discussing problems, and it's good to remind ourselves sometimes that there's an awful lot going on which is just happily carrying on, and there may be problems, but they're to remind ourselves of the positive side. Now, we all know the importance of the family, but I'd like to come at it from a particular direction, and to ask the question, well, has God put us into the world? And it's a faith that you and I all share, that God created us because he wants us to share his life. Both beginning here now and in a future beyond this life, a future with God and with each other, a future which we can only take part in if we have learnt to love, because God is love. So therefore, it seems to me that the ultimate purpose of our life on earth is to learn how to love. And it also seems, from my experience as a human being, and also as a priest working with people over the years, that we learn this lesson most of all in the family. We learn it first as children. As children, we learn that we're loved. I become aware of myself. Within that context of, the presence of the mother and father. But also, I discover boundaries. Boundaries regarding myself, my parents, what I can do, what I can't do, what I can get away with, and what I can't get away with. And regarding my brothers and sisters. And with my brothers and sisters, I have to learn that I have to think of others as well as myself. And all these things which are obvious, but just points to the importance of the family in growing and developing as people who are learning how to love. Now, I don't want to idealise it, and we've heard some of the issues, the difficulties, the challenges this morning, and they're very real. And yet, it's also important to have an idea of the what the family can be, and what very often it is. A place where everyone is important. Think, for example, of the example of something like when you gather for a family celebration, either at Christmas or at someone's birthday or at a major Islamic feast, perhaps. You have a family meal, everyone's gathered together, everyone's important. It's important that everyone's there. Everyone shares equally in the meal. Everyone takes part in the conversation. Everyone is important. Everyone is accepted. And also, very important, you don't choose your family. I mean, to a certain extent to which you do, and we've heard a bit about that this morning, but basically, your family is simply given. You are a part of it, and you have to accept that for better or worse, and so on. And in the family, you learn that love isn't just a nice feeling. I mean, it is, but it's also hard work. It also involves a certain amount of sacrifice about thinking about other people, and so on. And obviously, later on in life, again, I can't speak from experience here because I'm not married, but as a husband or wife, you learning to live with that other person, your relationship progresses, as we know, and different for each couple, but to a certain extent, the progress of the relationship from that sort of courtship through to the early marriage, gradually on a more stable basis and learning to the give and take that's required and the sacrifices that are required sometimes, realizing that it requires work and perseverance. It isn't all sort of like a sort of ideal romantic sort of thing. And then later on as a parent, the demands of parenthood, again, sacrifices that you have to make, the joys of being a parent, the demands of it, adjusting to how your children grow up and the different stages of their life, the tensions of the teenage years, which my younger sister's experiencing as a mother at this stage with her children, and then the challenge of letting go and allowing your children to be themselves, to be different to you, to have their own views and so on. And in all of that, it seems to me that that is gradually learning what we're capable of, and learning what it really means to love. That, I think, would apply to any family, and there are that's the ideal. There are obviously ways in which we fall down in various ways. What about the specifically Christian view of the family? What does Christianity add? I'm going to use some theological language here, but very simple. It might sound a bit odd to say that the family is what we call the domestic church. Now, you might think, well, that's a bit odd. Does that mean, like, because when we think of church, we think of church building and people gathered together on a Sunday or so on. But we're thinking of the church there as the, what we call the, well, we use the expression body of Christ. And there's a sense in which we believe that we are united in Jesus, that we're not just members of a group that have sort of gathered for a particular purpose. We're not just individuals, but in some mysterious way, we are parts of one body, and we have an effect on each other just as one part of the body has an effect on the other. Now, that's not necessarily just true of Christians, but we see it in a particular way in relation to Jesus, that Jesus is the head and we are the parts of the body. And the family fits into that because that's the basic unit in which that occurs. You know, famous thing, when two or three gather together, there am I with them. Now, there's probably ways in which you could make a certain analogy with different religions, including Islam. There may be parallel experiences and so on. It'd be interesting to hear. But that would be the big emphasis then on not only God acting in the family, God present amongst us, which I think we all share, but also a specific relationship to Jesus within that setting there. And on that note, I'd like to mention a particular, you might call it a publicity campaign, I'm not quite sure what to call it really, but some years ago, our Conference of Bishops in England and Wales, there's a family, marriage and family life section of that, which isn't just bishops, but a lot of actual married people and the families and so on. They launched a program called Home is a Holy Place. Home is a Holy Place. And the idea being that, let's say when a family comes to church, young children, maybe they're a little bit noisy, maybe they run around a bit. It's nice to see the children running around a bit during the prayers, actually. I know it's family friendly. They're sort of, it's a bit untidy. It's a bit, and then sometimes you get some of the older people, they sort of look a bit sterner. They think, shh, and all that. So there's a sort of feeling, in a way, can be a feeling that family life is a bit messy, a bit untidy. It's not quite sort of, you know, perfect how you would imagine it sort of thing as far as religion's concerned. And we wanted to emphasize that it's actually in that rather messy reality of the family where things aren't necessarily ideal, where things go wrong sometimes, or, you know, even trying to get the children ready to go to church, it's a bit of an effort, and so on. In all these various ways, but God is present in that. He's there in the family, you know, and therefore it is a holy place. And, you know, it's not just church, but perhaps even more so in the home, in the family, in all the give and take, in all the ups and downs, God is there. Finally, I want to mention one challenge. I know I'm mainly focusing on the benefits. One challenge, I think, and I'm sure you'll all be aware of this, especially from a sort of Islamic context, is that in this country and elsewhere in the West, we've tended to reduce the family to the nuclear, so mum and dad and the children. And I think that's rather an impoverishment. When I trained to be a priest, I trained in Italy, in Rome, and it's very different in Italy. Huge emphasis on the family. Similarly, a lot of my African brothers and sisters, big emphasis on the family, much more the extended family. You lose count of the aunties and uncles and all that. I think by reducing the family, as we have done in this country a bit, to that sort of much more basic level, it reduces that side of family life which is unconditional, that you have to take the family as they are, and that includes, it's not always what's most convenient. You know, in the larger family, you've got to take account of elderly relatives who need looking after. Ideally, I think in this country, often we sort of ship them off to an old people's home or something like that, you know, and and even within the family, there's more individualism perhaps than there used to be. And I think that can be quite a challenge. Someone was saying, I forget who said it now, in the earlier session about eating together, that was, and how important that is. I absolutely agree with that. And that sort of symbol of gathering together around the table is so important. I suppose just to put that in the context, it seems to me that perhaps in this country, at least amongst the sort of the more established English, as it were, the English, we've tended to make the family what we want it to be for our convenience. And that's part of a wider phenomenon that gets away from the idea that we're in God's world, we have to follow God's rules, we have to sort of find our place in a world that God has created, which isn't always what we want it to be. And yet, very often accepting what it is a much more spiritually fruitful attitude. And I think that's so important. That's something very much that we share with our Muslim brothers and sisters, that idea, it's God's world, he created us, and we need to follow his way if we're going to be happy. Well, I think I'll finish there. Thank you.